I can't believe that my hard copy's not a lot closer to bringing it on in betting.
For both sides, it looks a put-in-take-out job. He's $1.20, but it's a good way to add some value to your multis during the weekend.
Yeah, he's just he's going to be too good for them. Just looking at him, I'm still not absolutely convinced he's back to his brilliant best. He's been suited by the 2300 twice. I think he's better at 2300 than a mile, so I'm with Lenny going ahead to the Miracle Mile.
All right. And Lenny, of course, is the odds-on popper at the very short, cramp odds of about $1.04 or something in the Bendigo Cup tomorrow night.
Yeah, I still can't get my head around how he's not running at Menangle and he's running at Bendigo, but that's a story, for another day.
Hazy could organise that.
Well, I think we might see some changes next year. Surely they don't want the same scenario in 12 months' time.
Well, and surely they want Smolder in the Miracle Mile as well. But anyway, there's some issues to discuss later on. But, yeah, Lenny will just turn up and win at Bendigo, no doubt about it. And all that drama and banter and controversy aside, it is going to set the scene for a magnificent Miracle Mile.
Yeah, it will do. Thank you, Adam.
Cheers, mate.
Adam Hamilton from tab.com.au. Greg, we should mention for our listeners, there's a special podcast that we're doing every Thursday. Mick Guerin, Peter Tritton and Mark Purden on this week's edition. You can go to skysportsradio.com.au, click on the radio podcast area and download it while you head out and go for a walk. It's good listening for 20-odd minutes. That's available right now. Greg, we'll hear you over the weekend.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
And tomorrow night also, Amanda Rando will be presenting her late mail prior to every race on the Carnival of Miracles Night 1 tomorrow night at Menangle. Stuart Turner joins us from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. What's going on, Stu?
Hi, Benzo. We've got loads to look forward to again this weekend. I'm looking forward to heading down to Bull Eye tonight for the heats of the Group 2 Ladbrokes Cyril Row Gold Cup over the 472 metres. Some cracking races in store here. A couple for you to look out for, Andrew. I reckon Ritza Lenny in Heat 1 and El Magnifico in Heat 2 are the ones to watch. And if you want a bit of value for the series, Dark Magnum, who's got Box 5 in Heat 4, looks pretty tempting to me. Should be a great night at Bull Eye tonight and a great series as well. Don't forget, down in Victoria tonight as well, we've got the Group 2 Shepparton Gold Cup Final. What a race this is. Now, I spruced Bearville Adler on Chasing and Pacing Rewind last Sunday, and I've had a look recently, mate, so I'm sticking with him from Box 7 in this one. But we've got great racing elsewhere across the rest of the country too over the next couple of days. So loads to look forward to, Ben. I'm really looking forward already to this, to talking about it all on Chasing and Pacing Rewind this Sunday. And of course, all the fields form and expert picks you need are available at thedogs.com.au.
Exactly. Plenty on over the weekend. I know you'll be back after 11 to look at that Bull Eye program. Let's hope it's a good couple of weeks for the club there. Thanks a lot, Stu.
You take care, mate.
Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. That's about it for Racing HQ. Repeating that DEFCON's come out of the Blue Diamond Prelude down in Melbourne at Caulfield tomorrow. Caulfield's rated a good 3 and the weather's fine there with a Peno of 5.05. But DEFCON has been scratched from that Blue Diamond Prelude tomorrow. Coming up next, Tab Talk. That'll be followed by Formline, looking at the feature races in both Sydney and Melbourne. And then all our previews for today's racing after 11.
Tab Saddle Up Sundays visit our most exciting regions, like the Central District of New South Wales.
Bathurst Thoroughbred Racing saddles up this Sunday. Come along and enjoy Bathurst Cup Legends Race Day, featuring the Bathurst Cup and the Bill Asbros Cup. There's a free sausage sizzle for the first 200 through the gate, along with kids' activities and fashions on the field. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Thoroughbred Central have the mounting yard covered at Bathurst this Sunday. Visit gocountryracing.com.au.
Head west and find your next superstar at the Magic Millions Perth Summer Sale at Belmont Park on February 15 and 16. Recent graduates of the sale include Perth stars Lucky Street and Man Booker, as well as Group 1 winners Lucky Gray, Magnificio and Moment of Change. The 2016 catalogue features 349 outstanding lots by 83 individual sires. For more information and to view the catalogue, visit magicmillions.com.au.
This is John Tapp inviting harness racing fans to join Chris Lang and myself for the 2016 Elite Lock Tour. Visit some great places and see the world's best trotters in action in Sweden. Google Jeremy Nolan Travel for full details.
Bingley is celebrating Chinese New Year with fantastic bargains across selected products store-wide. Just look for the red price tickets and grab a deal. Only for a limited time and only at Bingley.
We've snuck in here to have a chat with Greg. He and his mates have had a great day at the races and are now having dinner to celebrate. Greg.
Oh, g'day, Russell. I didn't see you there.
Good day at the races, it seems.
Oh, fantastic. We made the most of Tab's autumn offers, didn't we, fellas?
Woohoo! You too can also make the most of Tab's wide range of sensational racing offers throughout the autumn carnival. Find out more at tab.com.au. Tab, more than just winning.
Gamble responsibly.
They're off. Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
It's the first time he's finished about a GP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. 7 past 10. Stuart Middleton, Johnny's now. Good morning, Stuart. How are you?
Yeah, really well, Cozzy. Oh, cricket today, rugby league tomorrow. We've got Group 1 racing in Melbourne, the Apollo in Sydney. I mean, it's about as good as it gets, Cozzy.
Absolutely fantastic. We've got heaps coming up and great racing right across the weekend as well. Brett Kavanagh will join us a little later on this morning. He's got some nice horses going around interstate as well as Wagga today. Big day at Wagga today too. I suppose a prelude almost to the country championship down there. Some very good horses. Now we're from Fox Sports. Matty Russell's joining us. Jared, morning, Matt.
G'day, Cozzy. G'day, Jared. Yes, the rugby league pre-season goes up a gear this weekend. Charity Shield, All Stars as we head towards next weekend's World Cup Series / Challenge.
Now, Matty, following the Auckland Nines, what's the attrition rate like? Still, how many are still out of the game after that?
There are a few nursing bung knees and elbows, but yeah. Thankfully the toll wasn't quite as bad as we thought it would be halfway through the first day. So we look to the Charity Shield and the All Stars with fingers crossed that no other players pick up serious injuries, because we want to hit round one with every squad at 100%. It won't happen, but if we can minimise the damage, let's hope that's the way it unfolds. And tomorrow in the Charity Shield, the Dragons need to get through that unscathed, because they didn't win a game at the Auckland Nines. Mm. They came up with zero, so can they do better in the Charity Shield? They need to. The Rabbit had a draw with them last year, 12-all. Having won the previous two, it means that the Bunnies hold the Charity Shield and the Dragons want it back in this, the 33rd staging of the event.
Of course, Matty, it's rugby league. Drama's never far away. I mean, Parramatta with the story of the Auckland Nines last weekend, but, they're waiting to find out whether they could be stripped of competition points. I mean, that would just be a disaster for a side which has finally got some confidence going into the season and a pretty good roster. And also, the other headline today is that Nick Politis is threatening to take the Roosters away from Allianz Stadium if the stadium's knocked down. Just another day in the world of rugby league.
Yeah, never boring, Jared, is it? But I like the fact that he said Parramatta was the story last week. Indeed, the club was the blue and gold. They gave us a hint that this might be a better season for them. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how they go through the pre-season, having won the Auckland Nines. I'm looking forward to the Charity Shield, because I'm looking forward to seeing how some of the, I suppose you'd call them the second string players, stand up in this arena. It's at ANZ Stadium, not at Allianz. That'll please Nick Politis, that Allianz will be out of the focus this weekend. But there's a lot of players missing in the Charity Shield because they're engaged in the All-Stars, the likes of Greg Inglis, Tom Burgess, Adam Reynolds, Joel Thompson for the Dragons, along with Gareth Widdop. So we'll get to see some of the players who hope to prove the club has depth this season. I speak of Drew Hutchison playing in the halves for the Dragons alongside Benji Marshall and people like Damien Cook and Cameron McInnes for South Sydney.
Well, of course, if it was round one, I don't think you'd see these odds, Matty. We've got South $2.35 outsiders, plus 4.5 at the line. The Dragons $1.60. The money is for the Dragons as well. I guess on paper, it is definitely fair to say the Dragons have named the strongest side. The odds reflect. They're looking forward to seeing Kurt Mann at fullback. Is that how it's going to play this year, Matty, in attack for the door, in the back line for the Dragons? That Kurt Mann's likely to play fullback and Josh Dugan perhaps in the centres, as he did in Origin for the Blues?
Well, I spoke to Paul McGregor about that just a couple of weeks ago. He is keeping his cards very close to his chest. Mary's great at that. He has the ability just to deflect the conversation the way he wants it to go, with a joke or a laugh. I think you're right, Jared. I think that's the way they might look to work that, because Laurie Daly used Josh Dugan in a different way. Of course, Laurie and Paul McGregor are great mates. They'll be talking about it as well, and it could well be the way it goes. I'm looking forward to seeing Russell Packer return. He's been in jail. There are some people who say he shouldn't be returning to rugby league. He has sorted his life out. This is his absolute last chance. I think he'll be on the straight and narrow, and I'm just keen to see how he comes back. No Mossy Massoi for the Dragons this season because of a pre-season injury that Cozzy mentioned. He's out for the year. So Russell Packer will need to have a big season. The Dragons hope he's ready to go. And I know there'll be debate about whether he should be there or not, but I'm willing to watch him, cut him a second chance, and let's see what happens.
Hey, Matty, with the like the Auckland Nines and the pre-season comp, how serious are all, how can I put it, are all clubs equally as serious about these? Or do you find some just say, hang on, we'll put a few blokes out and just give them a quieter time, we'll let a few young guys play on this? Do they all approach it with the same attitude or not?
No, every club's different. Their aim is to hit round one in the best position possible. Now, some coaches will say, I want to run my stars in this game, I want to play them here, but I'm not going to play them there. They all have slightly different plans, all aimed, though, at hitting round one in the best position possible. So trials are exactly that. People will say, well, the Charity Shield is not a trial. It is, and they will do whatever they need to do to keep their stars in pristine condition. They might play them for 10 minutes, others might play for half an hour. Mm. You just don't know. So from a punting perspective, Jared, this time of year is you're walking on a knife's edge, aren't you? You don't quite know what's going to happen when and the way they're approaching it.
Yeah, it's fraught with danger, but I'll tell you what, the punters loved betting on the Auckland Nines last weekend. The turnover was very, very strong indeed. I suppose they're getting some pretty good value. I mean, Parramatta will rank outsiders in the final, of course, against the Warriors, but they got the job done. Just on the Dragons, I know I'm looking a bit further ahead, and I got stared at by some pretty angry Dragon supporters in the office the other day when I suggested they're the value bet for most losses this year at $9. I mean, we've got the Gold Coast $2.50 favourites, the Tigers $4, Newcastle are there at $6, and the Dragons at $9. My case is, Matt, is that in attack, the Dragons, well, they were suspect last year. They had great defence, but if that defence is 5-10% off what it was last year and they don't have that punch and those game breakers and attack outside of Josh Dugan, they could really struggle.
Well, Jared, if you tell me that the Dragons are going to have most losses in 2016, I'd do more than stare at you or jump across the table and headbutt you. I don't think that is going to happen while ever the Tigers and the Titans and maybe a couple of others are in the competition. I called the Dragons playing New Zealand last year in Wellington, and their attack was breathtaking. Now, admittedly, the Warriors had fallen off the edge of a cliff by then, but I saw enough that day to suggest that a second year under Paul McGregor, where he has had a greater say in crafting his squad and implementing the sort of style he wants to use, that they might not win the comp, but they're not going to run last, not going to have the most losses. And I think there's enough talent there and enough depth there to say that they'll have a reasonable season. Now, what's reasonable? I'd say 6th to 10th, somewhere in that bracket. How about that? Is that too much of a fence sit?
No, I think they'd be delighted with that, to be honest. So, the responses I got were pretty awkward. People weren't happy.
It's a big confidence boost you're offering.
I didn't say it was necessarily going to happen. I said it's the potential value bet, because I think still their attack last year was one of the worst in the NRL, so... and their defence is what's won them a lot of games. But looking ahead, no Sam Burgess, we should mention too, yet for South, he's going to be kept in cotton wool for another week. The All-Stars game, Matty, the money's running about 2-1 to the World All-Stars here, despite the fact they're $2.10 outsiders, with the Indigenous All-Stars $1.75 for, I guess, the World All-Stars just appear stronger on paper. But then again, the game means more to the Indigenous All-Stars, doesn't it?
That's the key. If I'm having a bet in this game, I'm backing Laurie Daly and Greg Inglis and the Indigenous All-Stars. They've won 3 of the 5. They've won the last 2, 20-6 and 32-6. And that is right. It means more to the Indigenous All-Stars. It's an event that has a big question mark over it in a congested league schedule. But because of the Indigenous element and all that Indigenous Australia has given to rugby league, if those players want a way to celebrate their heritage and tradition, I'm happy for it to stay. I want them to have an outlet to really celebrate their culture and celebrate what they have given to rugby league for more than 100 years. So I would back the Indigenous team, James Roberts, alongside GI. That'd be scary for the defending team. Ben Barber. I love the pack as well. Ryan James, Andrew Fifita, a couple of blokes who need absolutely no reason to fire up. So, look, I just don't know whether the World All-Stars could come together with such intent as quickly as the Indigenous players can. I suppose we'll find out. I love the fact that it's a World All-Stars this year. We get to see the likes of Fiji, Sammy Raad, Radra, the Poms, Widdup, Graham, Tommy Burgess, and then the New Zealanders like Marty Papau, Conrad Hurrell together in the same team. It's going to be a really interesting lineup, and I'm glad that despite some withdrawals, the likes of JT, we still have a genuine batch of stars in that game.
All right. Now, if we have a bet on the weekend, Matty, what should we do? Who should we be on?
Well, you should go to your Tab outlet or tab.com.au. You should back, I believe, the Dragons in the Charity Shield and the Indigenous All-Stars at Suncorp Stadium. Line your pockets with cash, then you can set your sights on the World Club Series, where you'll see Brisbane, North Queensland, Wigan, Leeds. It's going to be a fantastic Sydney Roosters against St Helens. And last year, the Aussies went 3 from 3 against the Poms. Isn't that what we like to see?
That's what we'd love to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, North Queensland $1.40 favourites against Leeds $3. So Brisbane $1.75 against Wigan $2.10. The Roosters $1.55 against St Helens $2.50. There's other trial games too happening this weekend, Matty. The one I just want to pick out is Melbourne up against the West Tigers being played on the Sunshine Coast. Now, Robbie Farah is named at number 9 at hooker for the Tigers, and what could be the start of a very interesting year considering what's gone on there.
Yeah, I'll be very keen to see how coach and hooker get on for the first few rounds and the selections heading into round 1. Won't that be important? Because there was a time where Jason Taylor was saying if Robbie Farah is still at the club, he'll be playing New South Wales Cup. There's been a backtrack on that. I don't think it's going to happen, but those selections, week 1, will be crucial. And I just want to go back to that point you raised earlier on, Jared, about Parramatta still having this 4-point premiership deduction hanging over them unless they can get their front office in order. What is that doing to premiership betting markets? Because it's going to affect top A, it's going to affect bottom of the table, et cetera, et cetera. Where are you at in terms of suspending markets or waiting for results of those findings?
Yeah, no, still at the moment, Parramatta, we've got them at $13 and they firmed 2 points there after winning the Nines last weekend, 15 into 13. So all those markets still open. Most losses, we've still got a price for Parramatta as well. There's $17 there. So, look, there's been nothing there to suggest that we're going to suspend any of those markets yet. But obviously watch this space when further news becomes available. But as far as we're concerned, it's business as usual at the moment for our futures markets.
And I have to say, I know that Parramatta would be doing absolutely everything, moving heaven and earth to avoid that. And I reckon the game doesn't want to inflict that punishment on the Eels either. They want one of the great support clubs in the league to start on level terms with everyone else and build on some momentum from the Auckland Nines. If Parramatta's going well, then the league in Sydney, the league all up, is doing much better. So I think both parties would want to avoid that. And I'm sure there's lots of backroom dealings going on to make sure that the Eels tick all the right boxes before that decision is handed down.
Yeah, the last thing you want is an Essendon situation with the AFL heading into a new season with the one team severely compromised. Matty, now you're obviously in North Queensland at the moment after commentating on the NBL last night. This is the last week before the finals. Who are you fancying heading into the playoffs?
Well, I'm just about to swim around Magnetic Island, guys.
Yeah, good on you.
Morning exercise. I'll brush the fingers aside.
No it's arcs around there.
When it comes to, it might be on a jet ski instead. When it comes to the NBL, back to home teams in the finals, because home court advantage has been such an advantage, an unbelievable advantage in 2016, season 2016 I'm talking about. So Melbourne's going to finish first and host one playoff series. Perth's going to finish second. They're going to host the other one. And the winners of those two meet in the grand final series. So at this stage, you'd have to say that Melbourne, by virtue of 2 home games in those 3-game playoff series, and Perth, with the same, are well armed to play in the grand final. And after that, who knows what would happen. Melbourne United, well coached by Dean Demopoulos. He's a rookie coach in the NBL, but he won his first 9 games of the season. After wobbles mid-year, he's navigated away from the finish on top. So I think Melbourne and Perth will be favourites to play the grand final series, and after that I'll be leaning towards Melbourne. But Illawarra have such scoring clout. They've been to 100 points 10 times this season. And with Jerome Randall back, if Adelaide can sneak in, they could do anything because Jerome Randall is the likely MVP of the league. So it's a crucial round. And tonight we've got a couple of belters on Fox Sports. New Zealand hosting Melbourne. That's crucial for the Breakers' chance of making the top four, followed straight away by Illawarra against Adelaide, with Adelaide desperately needing to win. So if Adelaide win both, they actually finish third. Any number of permutations regarding positions three and four in the league, but to answer your question, Jared, with Melbourne and Perth 1 and 2, they've got to be the popular picks at this stage.
Matty, good to catch up as always, mate. We'll be looking forward to hearing and seeing you on Fox Sports, and we'll talk to you soon.
Magnetic Island is calling the name, boys. See you later.
What a life. There he is, Matty Russell from Fox Sports. 21 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio. See, nowhere near as good as Coffs Harbour. Brett Bellamy's there today. Morning, Brett. How are you?
Morning, Cozzy.
Yeah, well, mate, you've got a nice bunch of horses going around there today, and it looks like being a terrific day for racing there.
You know, blue sky, sun shining, weather's not too hot at the moment.
Absolutely perfect. You've got Albertine in race five. This horse is out of cut, about three runs back from a spell. She'll be ready to show you something now.
Yeah, we're hoping. First couple were really encouraging. The last one probably a little bit disappointing. But back here on a home track where she likes it, good barrier, good jockey. So he's hoping Jace can give her, you know, the number one gun run in the race, and we'll be somewhere there when the whips are cracking.
Now, race six, you've got three runners there. Bon Cheval, can't find him, and Dacre Bell. Bon Cheval, first of all, got the money recently there at Coffs.
Yeah, no, she was lucky enough to win the Pink Silks with the girls race, so that was good. She's got young Jackson Murphy on her today, one barrier, sort of brings her in probably quite well with the only 56.5 kilos, and obviously we can't draw any better than the one barrier. You know, she's had a little bit of a freshen up since that one, so it'll depend on where she ends up in the run, but I think you expect there to be plenty of speed on, but it is a very, very even race. Chili Zane sort of on his home track. Far Dooley goes hard as well, so it's just a very open race, I think. Whoever gets the quaddy today will be handsomely rewarded at the end of the day.
Hey, little Jackson Murphy sits on well for a little 4 kilo bloke, doesn't he?
Definitely, definitely a big advantage having a little 4 kilo claimer on board, especially out of the one barrier. She's an on-speed runner, so, it really helps her out, sort of carrying the 56.5.
We've got Bon Cheval, a $3.50 favourite too there, Brett. In race seven, you've got Pervosa, just a rough chance there.
Well, he unfortunately missed out on that race at Ballina when it stormed and washed the last race out. We would have liked to have had that run under his belt, but he's going nice, and this run under his belt should see him somewhere back near his best, I think.
Tell us about Ready's Aim Fire. It won at Coffs there on the 2nd of January over the short, and then its last two at Kempsey and Ballina. What happened there, Brett?
Oh, Kempsey sort of, he's a timid little fella, and he probably got a little bit lost, you know, his first time in amongst a field at Kempsey, and I wasn't that unhappy with his run at Ballina. He stepped up to a class three. He didn't get beat that far. Obviously, I would have liked to have drawn a little bit better than the 11 gate today, but here on his home track, I'm hoping he gets back to that first up win in the 800 metre race here today.
All right. What'll be the pick of yours?
Hey, I can't pick too much between them, I suppose. as far as the market says, Bon Cheval's probably got to be my best.
All right, and as we said, it looks like being an absolutely perfect day there today at Coffs.
The trip home's not going to be that bad either.
No, that's right. That track's racing beautifully now, isn't it?
Sensational. The new drainage works sort of seems to have done the trick, and it's, everything gets its fair chance now. You can lead and win, or you can come from last and win. You can sit wide and win. So basically, I think it's, racing very, very fair, and I think the punters have taken that on board, because I think they're happy to support the meeting now and bet up, and the turnover's been really good on the meetings that have been run since the new drainage work. So, but as I said, I think everything gets a chance on the track nowadays, where it sort of could be a bit biased, especially if it got wet, but now it seems to be give everything a chance. So that's a really good thing now.
Hey, Brett, just quickly, Pestadine, you must have got a bit of satisfaction winning with it the other day. It's had a couple of long breaks.
Yeah, no, she's had a lot of issues since she was a young horse, and it was really good. And having the boys that have supported me through a lot of years of racing to finally get one on the winners' board for them, so it was really good. So, she's been a long-term project that's finally sort of come into fruition.
All right, terrific. Well, good luck today. Let's have this couple of winners there for you.
And here I was thinking that you'd forgotten my number.
No, how can I do that? Hey, you still owe me money. What are you talking about? I'll find you.
Yeah. Nah. All good, Cozzy.
Good on you, mate. Good to talk to you, Brett.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Brett Bellamy there. And let's hope we get to winner of three there today, Jared. From one Brett to another, we go from one from the coast down to the border. Brett Kavanagh joins us now. Morning, Brett.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. You got an interesting horse here in the first day. First starter, Centauro. Now, it's trialled all right, though. It all be the other day.
Yeah, albeit it was a heavy eight and we had a storm. And we threw the blinkers on and said, let him trial. He's been at work a long time, well-educated. So what you see is what you get.
So today is just a bit of a learning curve for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very well-educated, so he'll be straight on the bunny. Yeah, Ben will have to do the rest.
All right, Al Cabana in the second. Interesting, it got back the other day at Albury, but it got home all right.
Yeah, look, he's been dawdling out of the gates a bit. I don't think it's any fault of the riders. He's run into a couple of dead ends, but he won't run into a dead end today from six. Hopefully he lobs midfield somewhere and can finish strong and get the job done.
All right, Abro's son. This horse must have you tearing your hair out, I reckon, but sometimes you'll put in a good one, then you look and think, what's gone wrong the next run, then a good one. Is he a bit in and out?
I've only had him for two runs,
mm.
and he's been pretty good for us, so I'm more than happy with that horse. And, you know, I think he's a really strong hope today. His first run was good, and then the other day John got caught five deep on him. They just left him on a wing, and he got beat half-head, half-head. He looks magnificent, so... Yeah, I think he's an improver, so I'd be hoping that, you know, he'd be winning.
Right.
Sinistar Brett's a $2.60 favourite there in race five. Went to town last start. Probably struggled a bit, but back here should be a good chance.
Didn't struggle as much as Stackhouse. Well, getting back on one of mine, I can tell you, he pulled the teeth out mid-race. Yeah, you wouldn't put him on the front lawn.
You can give him a rap, can't you?
Oh, please. Well, they walked mid-race. He wanted to pull the teeth out, and then when the speed come on, he wanted to go again. Then he come back and wonder why she was flat-footed. Jesus Christ.
Oh, mate, I love having you on. I really do. Yeah, you got steak and Bernays later on. Red second at Albury the other day. Good run there.
Yeah, look, he was out of form, and I said to Kayla the other day to stake him up a bit. I said he hasn't been getting the job done, and she staked him up, went forward on him, and he runs second. So he's got to probably lift the bar again today and race super to warrant backing up in a fortnight in the heat of the country championship.
Actually, it's funny, I was going to announce that Daniel Stackhouse was your stable rider, but that's obviously not true.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on from there.
Now, listen, the monster, you got him in the Rubiton tomorrow at Caulfield. He didn't have much luck the other day at Flemington.
No, look, he's a tough horse to ride, you know. Richie's had a few rides on him. He can do a lot wrong. He can make jockeys look bad, the horse, you know, because he's a wayward horse. And sometimes he's not tractable, and then he wants to lay in and lay out. But, look, he's got a wide gate tomorrow, and it'll track him very hard, so... If he's going to throw a bad one into us, it could be tomorrow, but if the horse is in really good order going forward, you know.
What's your best, Brett, out of all of them?
Today?
Yeah.
No, I think he just keeps throwing it at him, I think.
All right. I think we'll do that.
Be like feeding chooks, mate. Just keeps throwing it at him.
That's it. And Fast and Famous is doing the job for you at start. Everything's going good.
Yeah, he's had another Group 1 winner, so he's had two since we got him. You know, for country breeders that are breeding to race, little Bob's horses, so... He's perfect for them horses, you know.
Yep, terrific. Mate, good to catch up and good luck today and tomorrow too.
Yep, cool, thank you.
Thanks, mate. Here's our Addington.
Showing up there, wide on the track, Ginger Snag, and going up in the centre, Corbin Craig is followed a length or two back there by through the middle, Southern Blue. They're followed down to the inside, Reality around the quarter, heading the front, Corbin Craig. Corbin Craig will get there. Another realm and zooming through late, Reality. Been a photo with another realm, and then we go back to Southern Blue and Belfast Barry, close up there, where Kelly's boy, Ginger Snag, and Barcia Express towards the tail.
Now, five get some money there. Corbin Craig, 241.30. We'll just check for second and third. Pretty tight there. Possibly Southern Blue, number three, will get second, $1.70. And maybe the four Reality for third, $2.50. We'll confirm those shortly. Jared, have a good day.
Yeah, you too, Cozzy. Just want to mention the Monster 2, 14 into 12, just back out to 13 for race 5 there at Caulfield tomorrow. Has been nibbled there at the price. Best back there is Politeness, $3.80, second pick, Heatherly at $3.60. Don't forget live betting for the cricket too, Cozzy. At the moment, the Kiwis in a world of trouble. They lost 4 for 13 there at one point. They're now 5 for 83. In live betting, New Zealand $5, Australia $1.40, the draw $5.50, and Winx has just trimmed up a little bit too for tomorrow in the Apollo 155 into $1.50, Cozzy. Can't wait to watch it go around again.
Nah, too right. Good on you, Jared. Have a good day.
You too, mate.
Thanks a lot, Jared Middleton, tab.com.au. Let's see what's happening on the roads now. Check the traffic. What's happening on the roads?
I was waiting for the bed, waiting for the music bed. Sorry about that. Hazelbrook, we've got a smash up there on the Great Western Highway near Oakland Road. Now, that's affecting traffic into Penrith as we speak. Now, at Kemps Creek, we've got a two-car smash on Memory Road and Kerrs Road 2. Camperdown, a tree down on Parramatta Road, approaching Ross Street. One city-bound lane is closed there. At Maroubra, got the lights playing up on Fitzgerald Avenue and Malabar Road. Take it easy through there. And at Arncliffe, got a truck broken down on the M5 in the tunnel. It's affecting city-bound traffic. One lane is closed there, and as you can imagine, lots of traffic trying to get past the site at the moment. And the M4 heavy from Coleman Street all the way down to James Rees Drive. Woolworths Red Hot Specials have arrived, like 400-gram Makona freeze-dried coffee, just $16 each. Save $8.19. Red Hot Specials only at Woolworths. I'm Dennis Lee. That's the latest traffic.
Sky Sports Radio gives you the right ride every day during Sydney's exciting autumn carnival. Every Saturday, catch the action. Then Sunday morning at 9, reflect with Thoroughbred Weekly. Don't miss unique and entertaining race analysis from Greg Radley, Ron Duffercy and Richard Friedman right here on your Autumn Carnival leader, Sky Sports Radio.
We've snuck in here to have a chat with Greg. He and his mates have had a great day at the races and are now having dinner to celebrate. Greg.
Oh, g'day, Russell. I didn't see you there.
Good day at the races, it seems.
Oh, fantastic. We made the most of Tab's autumn offers, didn't we, fellas?
Woohoo! You too can also make the most of Tab's wide range of sensational races.